Hector Elias, welcome.
Hello, everybody. My name is Hector, and I am a smelly alcoholic. They lost my luggage. I haven't changed my underwear in 3 days. But I showed up. You see, that's how spiritual I am. Oh, God. And I'm a clothes horse, you know what I mean? I love to look good. I'm just another pretty face, you know. I have no program, but, you know, I like to look good. You know, so. Anyway, I want to thank Ellie, Ziggy, Inish, Chris, and Zola. And many, many other people who really were so kind. I really love Iceland, you know. If you change the weather, I'll move back here. You know what I mean? I live in California. It's really nice, nice and warm there. Anyway, I'm going to talk about steps 1, 2, and 3. And whatever I say from the podium is just, you know, my experience and my opinion. Unfortunately, I happen to be very opinionated, and I may be wrong, but I'm never in doubt, okay? So, one of the wonderful things about, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, you can do your own interpretation of the steps, you know, but as long as you work the steps, go to meetings, get a sponsor, and don't drink, you know, you'll stay sober. And that's what I've been doing for 25 years. And I do now the same things that I did 25 years ago when I came to AA. I go to meetings, I have a sponsor, I sponsor people, I work the steps, I pray and meditate, and I have 3 commitments. And I don't do that because I'm good or spiritual. I do that because I don't want to drink. 100,000 people die in America from alcoholism. And I've seen a lot of people with long-term sobriety kill themselves. And I love my life. I love AA, you know. I call AA the mafia of love. Newcomers, once you come to a few meetings, you can't get out. We are everywhere. Anyway, this is the way they taught me how to do the steps, and I'm going to share it with you. And if you don't agree with it, it's perfectly okay. Whatever works for you, God bless. I support you and encourage you to do it. But this is what I do. This is what I believe. And this is what I share. You know, first of all, I have to know what an alcoholic is. And we get a lot of definitions in AA about what is an alcoholic. I believe what the book says. Alcoholics are men and women who lost their ability to control the drinking, period. That's it. I have a problem. What's my problem? My problem is lack of power, powerless. What's my solution? A relationship with God. That's it. The main object of this book, page 45, is to help you find a power greater than yourself that will solve your problem. It's not the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend, the house, the money, the car. All those things are incredibly wonderful. But they don't give me the inner peace that I always longed for in my entire life. That comes only from a relationship with a higher power. And I didn't know that until I came to AA. I come from abject poverty, and I thought if I got all those other things, I was going to be okay. And I got them. And I ended up dead in the intensive care unit for 3 days. They had to revive me twice. So that doesn't work. In the step one is basically the preface, the foreword to the first edition, the foreword to the second edition, the foreword to the third edition, the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there is a solution, and more about alcoholism. That's untreated alcoholism. We call it a diagnosis of alcoholism. And the way I do that, I go through the guys I sponsor through all those chapters. The step two is chapter two. The step two is we agnostics. Step 3 to 12 is 5, 6, and 7. How it works into action and working with others. And steps 8, 9, 10, and 11 to wives, the family afterward, to employers. And the vision for you is how to practice these principles in all our affairs. And when I came to AA, my sponsor took me through books like I do now with the guys I sponsor. You know, I just did the 4th and 5th. I made my amends, you know. But I felt kind of uncomfortable. And it took a long time to really find somebody to work the steps with and really found out what this magnificent book, this incredible piece of spiritual literature that really, literally changed the world, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's just, those 164 pages are magnificent. And people say, you know, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are to achieve sobriety. Yes, the end result of working the steps is sobriety. For me, just for me, remember, whatever I say from the podium applies only to me. For me, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are spiritual tools to develop a conscious contact with God. And if I do that, the obsession will be removed. Isn't it interesting, you know, in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the word recovery is not mentioned. The word sobriety is not mentioned. The word alcoholism is not mentioned. But there is one word that is mentioned 9 times. Check it out. That word is God. 9 times. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. So that's what I believe the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are for, to develop a conscious contact with God. And if I do that, the obsession will be removed, and I'll be able to stay sober and help other alcoholics. That's what I believe. In the first step, you know, it's powerlessness. It says, we admitted we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Unmanageable. So, it's the first step also, it's the only one that had to be worked 100%, had to be adhered 100%. The other one are spiritual ideals. You know, we had to be content with, you know, a spiritual improvement rather than a spiritual perfection. And the wonderful thing is the way it's written. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I don't have to admit that I'm an alcoholic, only that I'm powerless over alcohol. It's a lot easier for me to say I'm powerless over alcohol than to say, I'm an alcoholic. I don't want to be an alcoholic. You know, I have a Mercedes. I cannot be an alcoholic. You know. I'm going to go real quickly through the forewords and the preface. The first edition came in 1939, the second in 1955, the third one in 1976, and the fourth, I think, it just came out. And the basic text, the 164 pages, you know, which are really illumined words, really, had never been changed. The other parts have changed, you know, especially the stories to reflect, you know, the diversity of our membership. You know, I'm studying certain spiritual studies, and in this religion, which is very close to AA, we just believe in God, it's not denominational. The gentleman who wrote the book, you know, is 560 pages. The big book says the same thing in 164 pages. That's how illumined Bill Wilson was. Remember, Bill Wilson had about 3 years sobriety when he wrote this. Obviously, he did not write that. He was just an instrument through which God could pour His wisdom, His kindness, His method. He just guided His hand. Because remember, when you have 3 years sobriety, think about the guys you sponsor who have 3 years sobriety. Can they write one paragraph, much less a whole book? So I think I think he was like a messiah. He was a chosen person to really do this for us. Okay, so the foreword to the first edition, you know, it came out in 1939, you know. It's not ambivalent. Because sometimes we are in the program, says, I don't know how it works, or listen to this. This is what they wrote in the first edition, the foreword to the first edition. We of AA are more than 100 men and women who have recovered. Not recovering, not in recovery, but we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. Because sometimes we hear, I don't know how it works. I know how it works. I don't know why it works, but I know how it works. If you know how it works, read the big book, you know. So it's precisely how we have recovered. And In the foreword to the second edition, they talk about the expansion of AA, 90 countries, then now it's 150 countries. And then this speaks about, you know, Abby Thatcher, who came in 12-step, Bill Wilson, and also talks about Dr. Silkworth, who was the first professional to proclaim alcoholism a disease. And by the way, when the book came out, AA didn't have a name. AA took the name from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. But it already was functioning. It's also in the foreword to the second edition, is the beginning of the traditions. And what is really funny, the traditions were really refused a few times. I think Bill Wilson had to submit them quite a few times before they were approved, you know, in the first international conference in Cleveland. And this is another sentence from the book that I really love. Upon therapy for the alcoholic himself, we sure have no monopoly. Because some people say, well, AA is the only thing that works. No. No. We don't have no monopoly. My barber is sober longer than me. He doesn't go to AA. You know, he's miserable, but he's not drinking. My mother, remember, she said, you know, I think I'm drinking too much. And this is what he said. I put the bottle on the floor and never drank again. You know, but for me, this is the only thing that works. I've tried everything else. I try Bible study, group therapy, the primal scream, just about everything, you know. Anti-abuse I tried for a year. But I was so miserable at the end of the year. This thing really is the only thing that really worked for me and probably for you too, you know. And the foreword to the third... The third edition came out in 1976, and one of the wonderful statements there says, each day somewhere in the world, recovery begins with one alcoholic talking with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. Notice, it doesn't say we share our stupidity, weakness, and despair. Experience, strength, and hope. There are three positive things. You know, sometimes in L.A., which have probably 3,000 meetings, you know, we go to meetings and people come to share their feelings. They want to get in touch with their feelings. Don't worry about getting in touch with your feelings. They will get in touch with you. You know, I want to check in because I want to know where I'm at. You want to know where you're at? Check who's inside your underwear. That's where you're at. You know what I mean? And if you're not wearing underwear, better talk to your sponsor. We do wear underwear, even dirty underwear like I'm wearing, but we wear underwear. And then we get to the doctor's opinion. Dr. William D. Silkworth was the first physician to speak of alcoholism as a disease that combined a physical allergy with a mental obsession. That concept was so radical that he didn't sign the letter in the first edition of the first edition of the big book. He was afraid, you know, he may lose his license. He signed it in the second edition. You know, it was so radical. It's wonderful that we had to remember that we all, to a doctor, you know, he was the first one that defined alcoholism as a disease. And a psychiatrist, Dr. Young, you know, gave us a solution. And when I work with guys, you know, we do writing assignments, and the first writing assignment we do with the step, first step is on page with numerals, I think it's 18. Dr. Silkworth lists five classifications of alcoholics. And so what I ask the guys to study them and write a paragraph relating to alcoholic experience to those five cases. And then we discuss it. You see, we have to really, the work we do in writing is to really determine and see that we were really powerless over alcohol, you see, and that our lives have become unmanageable. Then we go to Bill's story, you know. One of the wonderful things is, because we all think of Bill, you know, as a spiritual leader, but he was really a hustler. It was a salesman. That was what he was. He says, this is from the first sentences. I fancied myself a leader. My talent for leadership, I imagined, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with utmost assurance. Business and financial leaders were my heroes. He was very ambitious, very driven. Thank God. That's what we are here today, you know. And then he talks in that in his story about his encounter with Abby Thatcher, who was the Roland gave him the message, Abby Thatcher, to build, and that's where the whole thing started. And it is amazing that Dr. Carl, I think it's Carl Jung, you know, he talks about that the only solution for alcoholics of our kind is a vital spiritual experience. And I think it was his pupil of Freud, but Freud did not believe, I think, in the spiritual experience. That's the way I was taught. The Jung did. And there is no coincidences. He told Roland that, Abby Thatcher told Bill Wilson, and Bill Wilson got it. Remember when Abby Thatcher came to Bill Wilson, you know, he did not believe in God. He had a great resentment. But when Abby Thatcher told him, you know, a God of your own understanding, oh, this is different. And he got it, you know. He also talks about, you know, in that his story, the genesis of step 12. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, we could not survive with the certain trials and low spots ahead. So he got it. And that's why I keep three commitments in my sobriety, because I know I will drink. You see, I have to be connected to you. And I remember when I first... one of the first guys I sponsored drank, and I felt, oh, why is he doing that to me? Doesn't he know who I think I am? You know, I had like 7 months sobriety, and this guy drank to me. He did it against me, you know, and I thought I was such a failure. And then when you read the book, you know, on page 12, this is one of the guys that Bill Wilson sponsored. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. Not only he didn't stay sober, he killed himself in Bill's house. So I'm not such a failure. None of my babies or ex-babies killed themselves. You know what I mean? Say, then we go to There Is a Solution. And on page 17, it tells us two things that we have in common. And these are the only two things that we AAs have in common. And on page 17, it tells us we have a common peril, our disease, alcoholism, and we have our common solution, a relationship with God through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And on page 21, they give a very lengthy description of what a real alcoholic is. You know, so that's the only two things we have in common, our disease and our solution, nothing else. We don't care if you're black, white, all-American, foreigner, gay, straight, fat, skinny, male or female. We have only two things in common, and only two, our disease and our solution. I'm almost finished with step one. And also on page 23, it tells us where our main problem is. And that's very important to me. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centered in his mind rather than in his body. Everything starts here. Somebody said 2,000 years ago, as a man thinketh, so he is. We are our thoughts. And that's what I believe. You know, and the book says the same thing. And on page 27, I already told you this, we see Dr. Jung describe to Roland the solution for chronic alcoholic. They must have a vital spiritual experience. And at the end of that chapter, we see some suggestions about our personal religions and, you know, connection to our religions. You see, AA doesn't put down any religion. It says, as a matter of fact, to further your spiritual studies, go to a religion of your choice. And I have done that. I read a lot of spiritual books. God is a subject that interests me enormously. And I do it for only one thing, because I know the more I get to know God, the more I am in contact with God, my life really gets better. You know, I think if somebody, seek ye the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto you. And the book says the same thing, and I'll tell you later on, in a different form. And more about alcoholism, you know, this is the best and short description of what an alcoholic is, which I already gave it to you, page 30. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. And the chapter ends with this. The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. And that it tells you what the solution is, or it tells me. His defense must come from a higher power. And that's it. God is the answer to all my problems. God could and would if he were sought. You see, God knows where I am. He did not lose my file. You know what I mean? I have to remember that what I am, God is. And I have to be in contact with that. And that's what I believe really the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are. They're spiritual tools to cleanse my body, to cleanse this so that I can become an instrument that God can use. That's what the book says, to be of maximum use to God and those about us. That's what the book says. Because, you see, I'm blocked from sunshine of the Spirit, so I have to work the steps to cleanse this so that, you know, I can get in touch with the divinity which is inside of me. I think we call it God's grace in the book. At the end of step one, we do a writing exercise, or at least I do it with the guys, you know, that I sponsor. You can do something else. It's okay with me. We write 10 or 15 unmanageable, wild, crazy things you've done when you were drinking. You see? And then he has to come and read it to me, and we discuss it. So when we read this and we look at this, and it has a different value when you see it in writing than when, you know, when you talk about it and we discuss it. So that the person really, really realizes, you know, that his life or her life is unmanageable. And I do sponsor women too. Okay, one of the things I forgot to tell you. It's the first page of the book, you know, that has our symbol. And in that, the first page, even before the book starts, it has the first promise. The story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. That's the first promise in the big book of alcoholism. And I think as Debbie shared with us, the three units of alcoholism is unity, service, and recovery. And unity, we have the fellowship, the home group, the 12 tradition, it's the body of AA. And on service, we have carry the message to other alcoholics and the 12 concepts. On recovery, we have the 12 steps, mind and spirit. And it's very funny that they chose the three things. Because in metaphysics also, God, and the circle means the wholeness of God. You see? And it's very funny because also in metaphysics, when we think of God, we think of the triune form or concept of God, which is spirit, mind, and body. And that's what the big book tells us, that our disease is physical, mental and spiritual. But if we take care of the spiritual, the other two will follow. So for us in AA, the answer is always spiritual, which is God. God could and would if he was sought. So in the first step, we talk about powerlessness. And some members give it, you know, a spiritual concept to each step. The first one for step one is honesty. The second spiritual concept for step two is hope. And what is a spiritual concept? You know, we talk about spiritual concepts all the time in AA. I didn't know. The big book doesn't say. The 12 and 12 doesn't say. It was explained to me. And a spiritual concept is undeniable truth. It's not debatable. And I'm going to give you some examples. This is what I believe, okay? A spiritual principle is an undeniable or unchangeable truth. It's non-debatable. The absolute, you know, is love is one. Peace is another one. Compassion, grace, service, joy, prosperity, harmony, abundance. The absolute. They're not what you can debate about love or peace. How can you argue about it? Okay, so the spiritual concept for step two is, you see, I'm a little senile, I get lost, that's okay, is power. And the chapter for that is We Agnostics. Step two says, came to believe. I don't have to believe right away. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the first step, we admitted we had a problem, powerlessness. In the second step, we deal with a solution, the power. Okay? We read the chapter, you know, we agnostic a few times. I asked the guys to read it, you know, and then we're going to go through it together, you know. And on page 45, we find probably the most important paragraph in the entire book. The solution, I mean the problem, lack of power. That was our dilemma. Well, that's exactly what this book is all about. The main object of this book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself which will solve your problem. To me, just to me, not for you, to me, the whole book of Alcoholics Anonymous is about God. That's what I believe. Okay. Now, it talks about, you know, restore us to sanity. First, I have to understand what is my insanity. And the way that I was taught to do it is on page 52, we have the bedevilment. And what is a bedevilment? They're listed on page 52. That's another writing assignment I give the guys. What is a bedevilment? A confusion, a torment. And these are the ones that I have in my book. We were having trouble with with personal relationship. Two, we couldn't control our emotional nature. Three, we were prey to misery and depression. Four, we couldn't make a living. Five, we had a feeling of uselessness. Six, we were full of fear. Seven, we were unhappy. Eight, we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. So when I did this, you know, with the person, my friend Leonard, I have to write a paragraph on each one of these. You know, let's take the first one. We were having trouble with personal relationships. I had no problems with personal relationships because I didn't have any relationships. You know, for me, a one-night stand was a long-term relationship. You know. And, you know, if I had sex with you after I was finished, you had two options. Leave or turn into a pizza. You know what I mean? I'm done. You know, this is it. You know, so that's what I wrote. And Leonard laughed. Anyway, we couldn't control our emotional nature. Oh, my God. Some people say, you know, he or she is a drama queen. I'm not a drama queen. I'm a drama royal family. You know, I was getting into troubles, into fights almost every week. And I don't want to go through all of them. But, you know, you write a paragraph or you write if you want to do this. And then you share that, you know, with your sponsor. And, you know, and this gives you, you know, the insanity, the untreated alcoholism. Now, that's what's number two. The step says, came to believe the power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. So what is my vision of sanity for me? Right? So I have to write opposite, you know, to the bedevilment, the complete opposite thing. What would be my ideal life, you know, if my life was restored to sanity? So then I would have two lists. Insanity, what it used to be when I drank, and this is what I would like to achieve, my sanity. Okay? Now, now, on page 43, it says, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. That means that I need to go to God. Okay? So, would my higher power take me from my insanity, the bedevilment, to my version of sanity? And now I have to get to God, you know. If you have difficulty with the word God, you know, there's an exercise also that we do, if you can do it if you want to. In the up chapter, we agnostics, you know, there are many, many names for a higher power. I'll mention a few. Universal mind, spirit of nature, father of light, our creator, a power, supreme being, spirit of the universe, all-powerful, guiding intelligence. So the exercise is to find all the capitals, a little description or names for God, and write two sentences, your own description, not from the dictionary, of what that means to you. And that helps you, you know, if you're doing the steps in this way, that helps you to really understand it's all the same. We can use Allah or Buddha or Christ or Muhammad. They're all different names, you know, for one loving thing that I call God. Okay? Then on page 47, we agnostics, you know, it says, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. You don't even have to believe. If you're willing maybe to believe, you can start doing the work. You see? We have to remember, you see, that when Abby came to, I said it before, to Bill Wilson, he did not believe in God. Okay? But also he can be an agnostic and stay sober. In L.A., we have people who go to meetings that are agnostics. You know, they call the meetings We Agnostics. And this is what Bill Wilson says about agnostics and atheists. In A Comes of Age, page 167. This was the great contribution of our atheists and agnostics. They had widened our gateway. They had widened our gateway so that all who suffer might pass through, regardless or their belief or lack of belief. That means you don't even have to believe in it. You can do it. I don't know how they do it because I believe. No, but I have my friend Earl. He has 32 years sobriety. He is an agnostic. He doesn't want to hear about God. And he has 32 years sobriety. He has a pretty good program. I was told that for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who don't believe, no explanation will ever be sufficient. I'm very, very lucky that I believe, you know. But I came from a Catholic background, and I was very afraid of God. My God looked like Charlton Heston, and he behaved like Leona Hemsley. You know what I mean? It was not a loving God. So I had to find, you know, a higher power that I could use. And I read a great deal of spiritual literature. And I find the description of God that really helped me. And remember, this applies only to me. You can have your own. It was by Joel Goldsmith. And he said, regardless of how high my concept of God is, it is wrong. Because it is still a concept. Eventually, I have to lose all concepts and reach the consciousness that God is. And then leave the subject alone because with the mind, I'm never going to understand what God is. And that's what the book says on page 46. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which we call God. How can I understand a spiritual entity that takes care of 6 billion people at the same time? When, you know, religious authorities and theologians through the last 2,000 years have not been able to do it. I haven't found a description of God. I have found some of the qualities of God, but I have not found a description of God. So that's what works for me. God is. That is sufficient. What is my proof? My proof, not your proof. My proof. You are my proof. I found God in AA. You know, you believe in God. You know, and your lives have been transformed. Remember, before we all came here, we were colossal failures. And look around you. This is a room full of walking miracles. Somebody said, you know, a church, a synagogue, or a temple is the house of God. But an AA meeting is God's workshop. And I love that. I truly believe in that. And I came to believe, just for me, not for you. You can believe whatever you want. That God is incomplete without us. He needs us because He loves through us. He needs our smiling, our hugging, our words, our happy eyes because we carry the message through us. That's what God says, if you believe in me, I am. You know, and that's what I believe. I cannot really talk and define what God is. But I'm going to talk about some of the qualities I have for my God. And you had to find your own. You see, my God doesn't belong to any religion or any one person. That's what I believe. I believe that the Father and one my Father and me are one. Whatever I am, God is. That's what I believe. Okay? I also believe that my relationship with God is from everlasting to everlasting. It has no beginning and no end. That's what I believe. Also, I was told here, instead of trying to find God or define God, I'm supposed to see God in everybody and everything. And that's a lot more difficult. One of the things I do, not through AA, but through my church, and it's a non-denominational church, I have to go to prisons to pray for the... we don't give advice or anything. We listen to what the problem is and we pray for the convicts. And sometimes I'm sitting in front of the convict, and he's killed, like the last one, he killed his girlfriend. He's been sentenced to 20 years of to 20 years in prison. And I have to see the child of God in that person. And I have to pray for that person. And there is divinity inside that person. He may not be in touch with him. You know, I had to find it. Or I had to see him. I don't see him as he sees himself. You know, I see him as God sees him. That's my test. You do the same thing. When a newcomer walks through the door, right? He says, I just came out of jail. I was in jail because I killed 3 people and robbed 3 banks. What do you say? Welcome. You're one of us. You want some cookies and coffee? Here we are. You don't see what he thinks he is. You see something else. You see, and that's the task in the spiritual, way of life. And some people think it's, you know, God is Santa Claus and God gives things. You know what I mean? I don't believe in that kind of God. I don't believe that my God has anything to give to me, because everything he has to give to me is already given. Everything is inside of me. Love is inside of me. Compassion is inside of me. Understanding is inside of me. All that is sobriety is inside of me. And it was inside of me before I came here. I just had to get in touch with it. I didn't go to Bloomingdale's or Macy's and bought, you know, $100 worth of sobriety. It was inside of me. And that's another thing that that I learned here, and I love this. Okay? God cannot do anything to me or for me. He does it through me. And on page 68, I think of Bill Wilson, let me find it. It says the same thing. Yeah, here it is. Faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. They never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. Not what I can do, but what he can do. Okay? That's on page 66. Another thing that I understand is I do not use God. I let God use me, you see. Another thing that sometimes you hear, you know, in God's timing, and what I believe that God's timing is always in the now. Because God is not I was or I will be, but I am. And life is always in the present. You know, if I'm in the past, I'm into guilt. If I'm into the present, I'm into fear. But, you know, we all had to find our own, you know, qualities and our own God. And what I found out, you know, by watching people and listening to 12 steps, you know, the God that we create is really an extension of what we are inside. And the more sobriety we get, the more we work the steps and the more we pray and meditate, that version changes. You know, I also found out that the world is always, you know, a reflection of who I am inside. Somebody said, men don't get what they want. Men get what they are. You know, and we all see things different. Somebody could walk through that door and look at this meeting and say, oh, what a piece of garbage this meeting is. And this other person comes in a minute later and says, this is a great meeting. See, they're both looking at the same thing, but they have their own interpretation. The world is always a reflection of who I am inside. Another exercise that we do sometimes, you know, What 5 things you're not really to give up for a better relationship with God? List them. What is it? Pornography? What is this? You know, envy? What is it? I don't know. Mine is being judgmental, you know. And we list those 5 things. And then what we do is, you don't have to give them up, I was told. You just have to pray for willingness, you know, to have God number one, you know. And what a willingness is, and I was asked to look in the dictionary, gladly or cheerfully ready to change this. And I had to keep praying until out of the 5 things, God gets on top. Then I can give God number one priority. You see, that's what I was told to do. So we keep praying until we're gladly ready to do this. And the final line in We Agnostic says on page 57, when we grew near to Him, He disclosed Himself to us. This is a fantastic promise, you know. Claim it for yourself. I'm going to do a few more minutes. Step number 3. Step 3. Where is my watch? I don't know. Oh, here it is. Okay. A few more minutes. I'm done. So the first one was lack of power. The second one was, you know, what is the power? And step 3 is how to find the power. And the spiritual concept for that is faith. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And it starts on step 3 on page 60 and then goes until page 63. So in step 1, we admitted we had a problem. Step 2, we came to believe in a solution. Step 3, we made a decision to take action. And I looked up decision. It means determination, a resolution. And what does it mean to turn my will over to God? I was taught it means to put God first and to work the rest of the steps to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. Let me see. Okay, I have to talk now about what is my will and what is my life. I didn't know. I really didn't know. You taught me. My will is my thoughts. You see, somebody said 2,000 years ago, you know, as a man thinketh, so he is. In his heart, so he is. Our books is the same thing or something similar. Therefore, the main problem of the alcohol is centered in his mind rather than his body. Thoughts are things, I was taught. Just look around you, the chair, the ceiling, this microphone, your shoes, your clothes. Everything is started with a thought. You see, thoughts are very powerful. And because I'm an alcoholic, you know, I have a tendency to be thinking about negative things. So I have to change the way I think. And there's something here on page 85, it talks a little bit about that. It says, thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. You know, and another spiritual leader, Emma Fox, talks about what's the golden key. You know, the golden key is, and it's very simple, which is exactly this. Whatever your problem is, and whatever your concept of God is, you think of one of the qualities of God. Let's say God is love. I'm going to kill my wife, right? Or I'm going to kill my husband, right? I'm going to kill that. God is love. You know, and if you can best, God is love. So it has to go on constantly in my mind because I have a tendency to see things in a negative way. So my will then is my thoughts. And what is my life? My life, you taught me, is my actions. A man is not judged by what he drives, what he wears, how much money he makes. A man or a woman is judged by his actions. And C.K. Emerson said, your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you're saying. You know, and that's it. That's what you would always see in AA. You can talk a good program, you know, from the podium. You can sound like Mother Teresa from the podium. But let me see what you're doing to help another alcoholic. Because the book says, faith without works is dead. And he says it 3 times. So, you know, Mother Teresa said, you know, actions is God made visible. I like that. Okay. By turning over, I spoke about that, you know. So it's putting God first. you know, working the rest of the steps. Very simple. And Bill Wilson explains the third step on page 13, how he did it. And it's beautiful. There I humbly offer myself to God as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. That's in the big book, page 13. There's another paragraph which is also talks about the same thing, which is my favorite paragraph in the entire book. Page 62 and 63. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agent. He is the father, and we are his children. We had a new employer. We kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. I love this sentence. Our little plans and designs. More and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life as we felt a new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of His presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Big book, page 62 and 63. And in this paragraph is phenomenal. You see, it shows us a different kind of relationship we can have with God. You know, father and son, director, actor. I love that one. Employer, employee, principal, I'm his agent. You know, God always being, you know, a benevolent guiding figure, a loving figure. Somebody took once a little workshop, and this guy talked about God, you know. Think about God as somebody who's terribly in love with you, who absolutely adores you, who's looking behind the column to you and say, why is he not talking to me? I love him so much. You know, I think that's a great concept. You know, a God who's really madly in love with you. Then before we said the third prayer, let's look at 63, page 63. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves to Him. Are you ready? I asked the guys. And if you're not ready, we had to answer the questions, you know, the recap on page 60. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives, step one, and treated alcoholism. B, that probably no human power could have relieved alcoholism, step two, only God could. And C, that God could and would if He was sought. Step three, the way to get to Him. After that is resolved, you know, we do the third step prayer. And I was told this, I don't necessarily believe it, but I was told that the third step prayer doesn't have amen at the end, because until we do the step prayer, that some seven step prayer, wherein it continues. And a continuous prayer from then until we do that. And that one has an amen on that. And I love the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me as to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help, of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. It's a great prayer. God is mentioned 8 times in this prayer. And notice what it says. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt, as you want me. Relieve me of my bondage itself. Not that I could get a new car or a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend or a new house. No, no, no. Relieve me of the bondage of self. You know, relieve me of the hectic, you know, self-centeredness, that I may better do thy will. You see, to do thy will. Take away my difficulties. For what purpose? That victory over them may be a witness to those that would help of thy power. Not my power, but help of God's power, so that you can stay sober. You know, that thy way of life, God's way of life, thy love, God's love, Not my love, because my love has all kinds of conditions. God's love is unconditional. He loves me not because I'm good, because He is good. You know, if I was to get what I really deserved, I would be in trouble. You know, and may I do thy will always. You know, we take this step only once, you know, but I've been practicing some other actions to turn my will over to the care of God, you know, by prayer, meditating. Before I go to bed, I thank God for everything. Before I go job interview, I ask God to come with me. By writing in my diary, before a trip, I asked God to bless it. It didn't work this trip. You know, I lost my luggage. You know, I was just saying, I think it to Debbie in the elevator, that I'm very impatient, you know. And God said, I always ask God to teach me patience. Guess what? The luggage didn't show up yet. You know, and I didn't drink. So I'm getting better. Okay. Okay. And I also read a lot of spiritual literature. I do a lot of service. And on page 86 in our book, there's a wonderful prayer which is on awakening. I'm sure you know it. And this in many other ways have I used to surrender myself to God. But one of the most important things is for God to really reach me is to get my bloated ego out of His way. You see, an egotist is not somebody who thinks very highly of himself. An egotist is somebody who thinks constantly about himself. That's me. You know what I mean? So anyway, these are the things that I do when I work with somebody, you know, to do the steps 1, 2, and 3. And you don't have to believe in this. You can do it your own way. I'm going to take some questions if you have any. Oh, I think. And before I finished, I want to tell you that I want to invite you to come to a convention in Spain. It's in October from the 20th to the 24th. If you want to come, I have some flyers. It's a gorgeous island. It's just phenomenal. And so you're invited, and I have flyers. So now we stop and take questions, and then we take a break? Or we take a break now?
Break, no,
okay, I love you, and thank you.